my name on the back of my belt. Believe there's a God to save me from hell. And dirt roads are made for country boys like me.
They took her baby.
Don't believe in politically correct.
She had her baby.
If you want a piece of me,
CPS tucker.
Better have a set. A rifle and a four-wheel drive is all I need.
Okay, let's get me a rhythm.
January.
Nelson's gonna let him bleed today. He's going into shock.
And it's good for you. Take your Terramax today.
President business enveloped by a cloud of drones descending from the sky.
That's the most disorganized.
I would never let my kids read Chronicle SU.
Yep, I said, Nelson's bleeding today.
And I'll say it right to the camera. Stop it.
Hold it, mate.
Run, please.
You want to do this right now?
I write to the propaganda for the right wing.
You are fake news.
And I smoke in the weed.
You're going to get this Terramax out.
We're
going to live a clean life.
Yes, I go into a dissociative state because
you're tuned in to Hate Radio, broadcasting all across the galaxy. Break out the Terramax and put your kids to sleep. Here's your host, Hate Set.
Hello and welcome to another exciting edition of Chronicle.su Hate Radio. Radio Hate is home of the Hatenest half hour on the internet. And we're brought to you proudly by Liebel Droker Incorporated. I'm your host, Hatesack, and joining us live this evening is Kilgore. And he has strong feelings about Hurricane Florence. Isn't that right, Kilgore?
No.
And we'll hear more about that in just a moment. But first, tonight, Dr. Angus Troubadour is the manager of Liebel Kroger Incorporated outside the supermarket area. I didn't finish writing that sentence.
Sounds familiar.
He says,
listeners,
they're going to recognize some of these keywords tonight. But he says that hurricanes are not something to be afraid of, that people should not rush to judgment, because hurricanes inject cash into local economies where they're lacking, citing, what was it, Hurricane Maria that hit Puerto Rico as an example of unsung success. That was Hurricane Maria, right?
Oh, that was success was sung to the top of the Capitol building.
It was a success rate rivaling 9/11. Now, Dr. Troubadour has strong tips for a healthy hurricane shopping experience. We're going to hear about those later. But first, more about this fucking hurricane. The grocery store is pandemonium right now. People are, what, fighting over shit? Did you witness this with your own eyes?
No.
So this is not a first-hand account that people can read at Internet Chronicle. This is the researched product of a team of hardworking journalists. I understand you're in charge of them?
No.
It was pretty... Well, why not? What, did they take you off the... That was never your beat?
No, I just made some stuff up.
Hold on. How did this story get here?
I just made it up, man.
So none of this is true?
Yeah, it's a work of fiction.
No, this is people come here for the truth. And it's curious like that, fiction such as this story would be so much closer to the truth than something they might find at CNN or Fox News. Or
well, what truth are we talking about?
Well, we're talking,
this is nothing. It was nothing like any grocery store visit I've ever had.
It was a scene right out of a nightmare, to be quite honest. But it just happens to take place, what, at the grocery store?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't go to the grocery store because I know it's going to be a mess. I might go tomorrow when, after everybody's hype has turned into a fearful hiding. And I'll be the last one out, you know.
I heard that the hurricane has been downgraded to a category 2.
Yeah. It's probably been downgraded again by the time it gets here.
By the time this podcast is uploaded, it's going to be a tropical storm again.
Yeah.
So was this
then the, after that you're left with nothing but a bunch of tropical depression
and your fucking, you know, yellow sky and lame ass rainfall, and you've got all this food that you were stocking up on and gasoline and shit. You had that generator purring,
and right, now there's no point.
Yeah, you primed it up and everything. But people at the height of this hurricane panic, people were in the press. People were talking to Internet Chronicle, and they said, like, one guy wanted to know why we don't just nuke the goddamn hurricane. And
it's a goddamn good question, and it had me really thinking.
Well, people they won't talk to just anybody, but when they see that microphone and it's got the Chronicle.su logo on the little box around the microphone, that's how they know that they're talking to this is a reputable, trustworthy source located in the former Soviet Union. And they talk. They want to know, why don't we nuke the goddamn hurricane? It's a valid question from no doubt intelligent and informed Chronicle.su reader. He was wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, and he had bleach blonde hair, and he was wearing sunglasses backwards on his head.
Now, this guy does sound oddly familiar. Who? He? What did he do? He threw... He said, he had come across this pile of emergency rations. I mean, that's, you know, if I know this guy, he wants to go to Flavortown. He doesn't want to see a pile of rations in front of him.
Yeah, it's really bumming him out, isn't it?
And he said, why, this goddamn cartwheel's stuck, goddamn it. And he threw the cart on the ground. And he told the manager, what, look at this piece of shit store you're running here. The goddamn cartwheel's broken. I mean, this is like a, you know, this is actually pretty typical for a grocery store, but it goes on.
Especially in hurricane season.
And especially in a tier one civilization, Dr. Troubadour said, this is where you can expect. This is where it starts to go off the rails.
No, this is where it gets on track. This was the original idea that I started with, and the rest was just built around that. This idea that we are a tier one civilization, but what we've engineered as a global project is just a disaster.
Well, you know, you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs, right?
Imagine if the Babylonian had gotten together and been like, hey, what, you know, we could dam up this river, but let's make Babylon great again and let's just get flooded even worse.
I
don't know what they could have done to make it flood worse, but they would have done it like just build channels to channel the flood right to their houses. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
On a global scale.
But I bet in the days leading up to that flood, when they had gone so long without worrying about it, it must have been unbridled ecstasy, because they were just doing whatever they wanted to do, not worrying about a flood, not worrying about type 1 civilizations and the Kardashev scales. They just wanted to stay at tier 0, right? Just fucking around.
Yeah, it's at tier 0.
But tell us more about this engineering effort.
Well, here at Chronicle SU, we're from a tier 3 civilization, and you can our the way we've taken over the internet and through the podcast and everything is through these fast radio bursts that have beamed across intergalactic space. Yeah,
it was an important thing that happened to the world when Internet Chronicle editors adapted to Earth's atmosphere and began reproducing freely in the wild. It was you're welcome, by the way. If you're listening to this, then it means that we have touched you. and that our influence in your life is permanent. And you know, this is the beginning of enlightenment, right? This is
Yeah, you ever seen that movie Prometheus?
I did. I think like we saw that together.
It's like that.
Or maybe we saw it separately and then we talked about it. Can you remember if we were together for that?
No.
This guy says, fuck you, fuck the store, fuck everyone. And he was stealing ramen noodles.
Yeah, the spicy ones too.
Those taste really good. You don't have to like stew them in the water or anything. You just dump that MSG packet right on the noodles, stir it in, you're ready to roll.
But listen, Dr. Troubadour is so fucking good at customer service. This guy's a rude, vulgar behavior.
He's the store manager.
Didn't make him even blink for a second. He just said what he needed to say, and the man was healed.
And so was the mess.
The doctor healed him.
The mess he made, the doctor healed the mess too.
Uh-huh. Well, with a little help from the customer service department.
But, And the guy quickly got over his psychotic break, from what I understand. And
Troubadour. No, I wouldn't say that. He just kind of snapped out of it once Dr. Troubadour triggered him with the perfect phrase.
Now, what would happen if we detonated a nuclear bomb at the eye of Hurricane Florence?
Well,
what if we had done it this morning while it was a Category 4 with 150 mile an hour winds? Forget this Category 2 bullshit. Nobody wants to hear about nuking a Category 2.
Well, it depends on what kind of bomb. There's different kind of bombs.
Tsar Bomba, they say, was like a...
the 50 megaton.
Didn't they say it was a star? They championed it as an artificial star.
Yeah. And you popped that one off right at the center of the... eye of the hurricane, and it's just gonna speed everything up. Nope. Throw that much more vapor into the air.
Would that happen?
And all the little creatures in the ocean will be totally ablated by X-rays that is broken into little molecules.
There's a myth that nukes can stop a hurricane.
They can pump it up like a notch or two. You got a Category 3, drop the Tsar Bomba, you got a Category 5. They don't even exist, but in that case, they should.
Government agencies for years have received missives from concerned citizens urging preemptive strikes against hurricanes using nukes.
Really? I thought that guy was the first to think of it.
Apparently it's a really bad idea. I guess because why? Because it's going to spray fallout everywhere.
Well, the Tsar Bomba had a very low amount of fallout, but if you had a cobalt bomb and you pop that off, it may not pump up the hurricane as much, but it would fill it with the toxic cloud that would be suspended in it for a long time. Probably bring it on a path inland and just, you know, cover everybody with it.
I don't think
That cobalt is bad stuff, man.
How do you get the cobalt?
The cobalt, well, what they do is they create their plutonium core and they wrap it in a nice thick layer of cobalt. And that cobalt helps keep it, it helps absorb the radiation, so they can handle the bomb and whatever. But when they detonate it, that cobalt is irradiated by the detonation, and it becomes highly radioactive fallout. And it's basically a bomb that's designed to to pump the air with fallout.
Wow. And the cobalt, it helps it along.
The reason they use cobalt instead of anything else is because the cobalt holds on to the radiation for much longer. If you drop a cobalt bomb on a city, that's goodbye city for more than 100 years, probably.
Anything not destroyed by the blast is carpeted in deadly cobalt.
There doesn't even need to be a blast. It can just be one of those neutron bombs that just shoots off like just single little particles at a time, and everybody is just killed from the inside out.
Well, it seemed like the scariest bomb, the neutron bomb.
Yeah, especially one with loaded with cobalt. That's the last one you want.
We have bombs.
And that's the one that Putin says he's got on cruise missiles that are powered by nuclear jets that can stay in the air for indefinitely.
They can just cruise around the planet waiting to strike
forever, and they've got submarines just like it.
No, he's bomb crazy. He's got his bombs mobilized.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
His doomsday weapons right there.
And we're like, our leadership is sidling up with them. Like, how scared of that guy's cluster nukes do you think the president really is to be kissing his ass so hard?
Well, they want to side against China or something. I don't know.
But talk about bomb crazy, dude. After the... In the 20 years, or like the 15, 20 years, maybe not even that long after the bombing, people had this fever, like, what can we use the bombs for? And this one guy, he was head of the United States Weather Bureau in like 61, said that he could imagine the possibility someday of exploding a nuclear bomb on a hurricane far at sea.
Did you look this up?
Yeah,
this for real?
This is true. Yeah. His name was Francis W. Reicheldorfer. And he was in charge of the Weather Bureau in 61. The future. We'll bomb a hurricane at sea. And it was on, you know.
Nobody. Nuking hurricanes. No, this is true.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He wanted to do it. He was a dreamer, you know.
NOAA maintains a webpage explosively to the idea of debunking nuking hurricanes. Oh, but it's blank.
Yeah, it's just a blank page. I think people hugged it to death. So many people are trying to nuke Hurricane Florence that like. The national website is overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
But the hurricane has been downgraded from a media hype sensation to a Category 2 storm, like really fast. And now all those people have their extra groceries. Their shopping is done well ahead of the weekend. They might go back to the store for like some chips and salsa and some other little things that they forgot. But the big shopping is done. Dr. Troubadour has tips for a healthy hurricane shopping experience, and he shared them with us tonight on the show. Do you want to hear what these are?
Hell yeah.
Store manager from Wild Bill Kilgore's Internet Chronicle story, Dr. Troubadour, has tips for a healthy hurricane shopping experience. Tip one, he says, elbow past the elderly. They're slow, they're in the way, and they compete for vital resources. They're after your pills, he says. Tip two, now is not the time for couponing. You're here to spend money. There's a fucking hurricane coming. Okay, tip three, let that fake Monsanto shit rot on the shelves. There's glyphosate chemtrails in that slurry. Hurricanes are organic. This weekend, your vegetables are too. And they're on sale. They're near the screaming guy having a breakdown. What the fuck is happening with QAnon?
He's that guy
something
having the breakdown has been reading his QAnon.
And QAnon is apparently having some kind of breakdown. Reddit banned all...
QAnon's banned from the internet.
Now, what happened to trigger the ban? I mean, there must have been some event in the media. I've been out of the loop now.
So it doesn't, you know, I don't. Has there been any QAnon event?
I don't know. I'm sure it's all over Twitter. If he just got banned from Reddit, right? Deplatformed. QAnon deplatformed. Him and Alex Jones and the boys are having some troubles right now. Just do a quick search for the hashtag QAnon and see what comes up.
Inciting violence.
Oh, is that it?
Harassment. Doxing.
All right, some of the big QAnon accounts say duplicitous Reddit has banned the QAnon subreddit, Great Awakening. Unfortunately for them, the truth is already out there, and there's nothing big tech companies can do about it. They are now accomplices to the many crimes they attempted to hide. And this can go back, well back to Pizzagate, right? Kids in the basement and that whole shit.
And to, for that, Death Eaters.
Oh, no, and the last time you brought up Death Eaters on the show, we didn't get a chance to explain to the audience what Death Eaters was all about.
No.
No, what is it? If you could summarize it.
No, it was one of the biggest post-Cebu promotional pushes by major anonymous accounts at the time controlled by Cassandra Fairbanks and other anons who, Heather Marsh, for example, who have a strange fascist kind of fetish here.
And there was something there was something curious about it, right? Because it involves protecting children. It's sort of a pedophile hunt.
Well, they tried to tell us that the word pedophile means child lover, and that the real bad people were actually pedo-sadists. And well, the pedophiles that these pedophiles who were trying to save the children. Because we must call them that now.
Right. Like the FBI.
Children.
The FBI are those agents that are assigned to the Darknet cases. Those guys are pedophiles because they love children so much that they're doing this gritty, yeah, disgusting work to help them. They must be pedophiles.
That's just the same thing with Heather Marsh and this...
Heather Marsh, Cassandra Fairbanks. These are the true pedophiles.
What they did is they did help publicize some actual cases of pedophile rings in the British government, maybe elsewhere, I don't remember. But this whole inflated idea that they were somehow making a difference or doing activism, it was really just an odd promotional push for nothing.
Right.
As well as usual, as, you know, at least do a fake doxing. Right? It's not even the level of a fake doxing.
It's just saying, right? Hey, look, isn't it great that these people are being prosecuted or something?
Yeah.
Big round of applause for the special agents on the case.
Chat rooms and call themselves investigators and, you know, role play a bit. The usual shit.
This is before Proud Boys could come out and live action role play at the protests. This was kind of the this is where they would have been.
Well, not Proud Boys. I'm talking. These are like QAnoners.
Well, this is sort of an evolution, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's like this is two generations before QAnon stuff, right?
Yeah. And how many Proud Boys are on board with QAnon? Probably all of them.
I don't know.
That's in their wheelhouse.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, they've got to probably, some of them dabble in this, a little bit dabble in that, you know. I think maybe the QAnon thing is kind of for some guy in a trailer home somewhere.
It does seem like a low rent kind of
it's really popular. It's not,
yeah, it's cooked up. It's feeling,
it's not what it like, even at the level of Cassandra Fairbanks. Like, these are just people who are down in their basement somewhere.
It's even more outlandish than Cassandra Fairbanks, and like the idea that she would have credibility. the QAnon thing is next level retarded. Special needs.
Yeah, like the Pizzagate thing, you had to engage in this long stream of secret emails. You had to look through all these codes. And with QAnon, it's like poetry. It's just like five or six odd fragments.
The main source of QAnon, I've never like been to the QAnon website or anything. I just don't care. But where is it? Is it QAnon.blogspot.com? Or where's he publishing this shit? And why do we know it's a man?
QAnon.blog, I think you can type in and get all the QAnon stuff.
Oh, for real?
I don't know. That's not it.
I mean, it seems like at the source is where you would find who this is, right?
At 4chan.
Oh yeah, I wonder what 4chan is saying about him. Let's bring him them into this. Maybe we better not.
Well, let me click here. Where do they do their?
I think they do it at the
politically incorrect.
Yeah,
that's where it'll be.
QAnon. Oh, he's got a giant thread.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, big thread. This is as of today. Now they work on this shit day and night, like they're solving the world's problems, dude. You can go and check in on the investigation anytime at 4chan.org/POL, and get yourself all caught up on QAnon. It's a live action role play. And this is where they do their planning. And
Look, here's a picture of John Podesta outside a pizza place.
Oh, let's check him out.
See, Pizzagate is still an important thread here.
Yeah. I knew it, dude. I knew Pizzagate would be in this. It's a whole vein of bullshit. Oh, and there's a fake news headline correction project. Original headline photo shows Trump pumping fists en route to September 11th memorial service. Here's the corrected headline from Paul. Photo shows President Trump pumping fists while meeting military. Okay.
Yeah, I saw that.
They cleared that up.
I don't know why anyone would have published that as news, but that guy can't even,
There's a redheaded chick here with her boobs out. All right, this is dumb. Do we want to talk about QAnon?
Let's get on past QAnon. You know, the thing about QAnon, he's banned. I'm glad. It was boring.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, And I think that short conversation that we had about it, that spanned maybe 2% of the entire length of the show, was more than the guy or the concept really deserves. It's dry, and I think it's boring.
We can sit down and pick apart some of his posts.
But it goes back to... He doesn't deserve it. No. It feels manufactured, dude. It feels like something that the news would cook up. And when I say the news, I mean TV news. I mean, it's so perfect for them. It's like they even had the fucker show up at rallies and shit, you know?
Well, originally it was Alex Jones who was talking about him.
Oh, yeah. Alex Jones,
and
probably.
And Lionel Nation.
I just assumed that QAnon was another one of those things that got memed into existence that began as bullshit, and now here it is.
Exactly. That's exactly it. It's totally fake. Totally good charlatan doing, not a con. What is the trick where you just, you're so vague in your predictions, and your predictions always come after the fact, and it's all that stuff.
Well, Nostradamus was famous for those types of predictions.
You should be able to spot that a mile away if you can. It's sad.
We still have so much to talk about. We're almost out of time here. We're
No, we gotta keep going. We've got one more segment. There, I think
at least one more. When I was in high school, I asked you about this earlier. If you could remember this copper wire that I used to have, it was a single piece of copper that.
No. Don't start with the start with the how you got it.
I was hanging out in the stairwell with Brian and these other guys. They all went to school together at the technical school. And the one guy was like in his electricity class. He pulled this. It was actually a TV that I busted all to pieces, and he asked me if he could have the copper out of it, and I said sure. And he took it to his electronics class or whatever, and he brought it back to me. It was about the length of a pin, but it had been wrapped around an electrical tape, and that single piece of copper came out and it forked out just wide enough to fit into the light socket. And he showed me, and he stuck it in the light socket, and sparks and fire shot out of it, and shower of sparks was hitting the floor, and the lights went out in the stairwell where we hung out, and I was so impressed by the power of the thing that he wanted me to have it. And because I had seen him do it, I was confident that nothing bad was going to happen, and I used it everywhere. I would plug that shit into just wherever. I got caught doing it once, and I got detention. But she didn't take it from me because she thought it was a pen. She thought I stuck a pen in there. And it says sticking pen in electrical outlet, 2 hours detention. With 6 exclamation marks at the end of it.
Oh my God.
She taught me how to write the paragraph.
In detention?
No.
Oh,
no. The woman who taught me how to write the paragraph then assigned me 2 hours of detention.
Was this at Q Spring High School?
Yeah, it was. It was
you
that strict
bleep
woman.
You can that out in post if you have to, but I think I might remember it now, because I remember someone saying something like James is going around poking this I think they said it was like a paper clip, right? They're like always jamming some paper clip into the...
Which would either not work or work so well that I would get stuck to the electricity and die.
I think it would like be too thin and burn up real quick.
Maybe, I don't know.
But yeah, anyway, you're just shorting out the...
If we had to watch, like, we had to watch these shitty, boring videos in biology, and everybody would tell me, James, use your thing and knock the power out over there. And so sure enough, the switch would quit working. I did it just as a matter of, okay, this is convenient. Just stuck it in there. The sparks would shoot out. It would melt the plastic around the socket. And we wouldn't have to watch a video. She'd say, I guess it doesn't work. Everybody would be like, and people were cool about it. Like, nobody ratted me out. It was a great idea.
All right, There's one more thing we used to do for fun.
What's that?
That was a lot like that. And having that power over the infrastructure at school, that's something, man. You remember when we would bring the universal TV remotes all around?
Oh my God, I almost totally forgot about that.
Yeah,
that was fun. That was very fun.
Now I remember when we first got it, we were driving around just looking for TVs to turn on
right.
off,
or driving by businesses or people's homes.
We would drive around this one particular mini mall, and maybe it's a full mall. Yeah, it's a full mall. It's just a smaller mall around town. And there was a Radio Shack there, and we drove up to it, you know, start going through the thing where you're pressing all the different TVs, and we thought it was closed, but there was like some guy in the back, and he came out and like rushed at us, didn't he?
The manager, I think he had to come out or something. Well, there was a pizza guy that ran out at us, and he demanded to.
Oh, that, yeah, no, that was the pizza place, yeah.
Yeah, because we would turn it.
He was fucking with us.
He was mad. He was very mad. He knew it was us. The police came to the Radio Shack because it set off their alarm.
Oh, yeah. And turning up the volume all the way around.
Right, yeah, you could hear it from outside the building. Because it's a fucking sound system. And yeah. Yeah, it triggered their alarm. But no, it was a pizza guy because they had that big screen. And this was back when big screens were not flat, but it was actually big, and it had the big speakers built into the bottom of it. And we.
But I think this was all the night when we discovered that just a universal remote could be such a fun time.
Yeah, yeah. We went totally bananas with it.
And there was. I remember there was a point where I think two or three people at school would have them. You know, all the time.
It became a thing, yeah.
Just in every class, you know, it was just totally normal for the TV to turn off and on and just be doing all sorts of shit in any class. Like, it got out. People were doing it.
Yeah.
Everyone was doing it.
It became so popular that I bought a watch that had a remote built into it, and I could pre-program it for the TVs that were in my classes, and I would just hit a button and watch the teacher go nuts.
But, yeah, like fucking Bart Simpson, man. You've got all these like sabotage devices all strapped.
Like a teenage Batman or something. How are they going to stop us? A universal remote is like $5 or $10. And it came with that giant, like, newspaper sized broadsheet of every code for every TV you'd ever need it for. It was harder to come up with the batteries for it. Everybody had a remote. Everybody who was anybody had carried their own universal TV remote. But yeah, I remember that. It got out of hand. And teachers started unplugging the TVs and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's what they did.
Yeah, it was all they could do.
Just always have it unplugged, and that was the end of it.
And then, if you know, but they all the time, they had to put a video on for some reason. So they would have to plug it back in, and then sure enough, it'd get fucked with. And they're looking for remotes, right? That was the thing. They started looking for the remotes, but they never could have guessed that somebody would have a watch. And I'd be sitting there just with my hands folded. I'm the only fuck up in the class. She knows it's me, but nobody can figure out how I'm doing it. Like, who else is in French 4 and trying to fuck with the TV?
Nobody.
Yeah, that was wild. That's funny that you brought that up, because that was like the height of pranking too. That was a safe prank that wasn't really hurting anyone. And
you weren't so you really had like a fork of copper wire with some electrical tape on it, and you were jamming it in.
I used it so much that I had to peel that electrical tape back where the copper wire had melted from repeated use. I mean, I did. I whittled the tape down, and I had to spread it out. Yeah, so much, and I, you know, I kept it in my book bag, like, you know how you've got that front pouch where you put your pencil and your pen, and then something else. I kept it in
that's
that.
That's why it's your pen. You reached into your pen.
I just carried it. And the statute of limitations is up, by the way, on all the signs I stole. I had enough signs sitting in that locker to get me expelled, dude. I would have gotten expelled. And all they had to do is just pop open my locker and look. They never did. and all the trouble I got in.
You had so many. You were like a sign collector. You had all this stuff.
I did. I had the big handicap sign. I had the little ones. I had the little buttons that like you pushed to open the handicap door. And after I took that, like the county came and replaced it. And I took that one too. And I took the other one. And then they stopped. And so it was just a metal plate that you had to like reach in and push in. And I finally got caught though, because I had Mike doing lookout. And there was this short, young, pretty teacher who looks just like a student. She was walking, and she had a newspaper, but it was behind her back. And I said, "What the fuck, Mike?" He goes, "It was behind her back. I thought she was a student." And so right as I'm ripping the sign off and plastic goes flying, she's like, "Yeah, you got to come with me." And so my detention slip said, "Ripped a sign off the wall." And then Mike's detention slip said, "Helped James rip a sign off the wall." I brought Mike down into my sick world.
Just, you know, gotta keep busy somehow. And those signs are just, you know.
That was, man, that was so much fun. And I remember knowing that I was having way too much fun, but that you only get to be a kid once, and that, like, soon these would be crimes and stuff. And, I was just trying to have as much fun as I could, like while I was legally allowed to get away with anything. So it's, you know,
a slippery slope,
right? Yeah, because then it turned into theft, and yeah, you can easily take it too far. But we would drive around hitting those trash cans, right? And we were
trash out the window.
We were just having a good time.
Just littering for fun, right?
Actually, yeah, we did that. We littered for fun. I mean, that's it. That's another example of it going way too far.
Did you ever go fantasizing?
Oh yeah, that was great.
No, that's a wholesome way to spend your teenage weekend.
Tell the readers.
Well, what... the story I always tell is the that we had this. I mean, I'd never really hung out with these guys much, but we ended up in these guys' minivan. This old 80s minivan. It was as square as can be, and had the, you know, had the door wide open.
And it had a sunroof.
Yeah, and you would just like, oh man, it was wide open. You could really wind up your throws and have all the room you needed.
It was surprisingly roomy inside.
I don't think I ever even hit anything, but man, this one guy nailed a light post, and the exploding can as the light went off with a flash. It was just this blue flash.
I remember that blue flash.
That blue flash was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Because it meant so much. It meant that he hit that light. The can exploded on it.
And the light exploded in a flash.
Yeah.
That was the end of the light.
Yeah, their light's off now.
All at once.
The glass is broken through it. That was yeah, that was great, man. That was one of the most impressive things I had ever seen, was him hitting that light post from the moving van. We were going fast, and we all cheered, and we were so happy. But that, and here's another example of getting carried away. Later that night, there was a family of deer in the yard, and he wound up just like when he hit the light, and he hit the deer. He hit a deer in the ass with his can.
Did he really?
Yeah.
No.
Took it too far, man. And what did we do when we were driving around hitting trash cans in our cars? We took it too far. We got in your Chevy Suburban, that big white Chevy Suburban, and we were going down the mountain. And you're thinking, like, you know, we'll hit some trash cans, just like in the Chrysler, right? So we're going down the mountain in your fucking big white 86 Chevy Suburban. It sits up high, right? So you're going, you pull down into a ditch. I mean, this thing had the lift to drive down into a ditch and back out of it, and you go down in the ditch and you hit one of those black rubbery plastic trash cans, and it gets like up under the fender of the vehicle, and it starts to bend under the pressure of the wheel and the wheel well, and it shoots out the side, and all the and it just exploded into like a explosion of trash, and the can was totally fucked, and
it was like taking a sledgehammer to a toothpaste to a tube of toothpaste,
and from
just splash.
You were driving, so you didn't really like. I was over in the passenger seat, and I kind of looked over, and I could see it squeeze down and like change shape, and then explode out from the pressure. It was hilarious. We got carried away, destroyed a trash can.
You know, you and another thing you would do, you would load up a bunch of toilet cleaner, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
You pump up a bunch of aluminum foil, and you mix it up real good, and put it in a sealed vessel, and tighten the cap on. We used to do 3 liters. The thing about 3 liters is it's a bigger bottle, but the boom isn't always bigger. You know, once or twice we really got it right, and
right.
And the 3 liter went off, but well, you know, that's fine. That didn't even take it too far. When we did it inside your in your garage. It didn't go off. That was like,
right.
Then you end up with a Coke bottle that's.
It was scary.
Been inflated to from 20 ounces to a liter.
Yeah, it was all misshapen and bulged, but it didn't explode.
You don't want to open it up and get that poison gas.
No, it'll burn your lungs. In fact, that chemical was so caustic that I spilled it on my pants because we're driving around in a car and I'm trying to. Pour it from the big bottle into the little one between my legs, right? And a little bit of it got on my jeans, and then it started to hit my skin, and it began to burn.
Yeah, you don't want to breathe in acid, or the gas is coming off.
Oh, none of it, dude. It's chlorine gas, and I think that was used in war. And anyway, for years after that, I had a rash that would occasionally break out where that shit hit me on the leg.
What?
I mean, I'm not even exaggerating when I say that it was still there like 5 years ago. And it only, you know, in the last few years has stopped reappearing from that shit. That was, those bombs were no joke. They would.
But you know, when you've, it's one thing to set them off, another thing to tie them to a rock and put them in a porta potty.
All right.
Detonate them.
We were at that construction site, and there was a porta potty, and we put it in there, and it exploded. And then, out of the exhaust pipe of the porta potty, you could see that toxic chlorine gas. like somebody was smoking a cigarette in there. It's just crazy, man. And probably the last point before we turn off of memory lane would be, I wonder how many years that artificial candle that we all made together, we called it the Chase candle out of his Nalgene bottle, and we just burned that fucking plastic Nalgene bottle like it was a fucking candle.
I think what we did is we had something like 5 of these giant 2001 candle, 2000 millennium candles,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, commemorative.
We melted those and melted pieces of plastic and metal, and I don't remember what else we put in there. Maybe dead bugs.
Action figures, there's, whatever.
Oh, yeah. There was an action figure in there. And the wick was this
coins,
thick nylon coil. Oh yeah, coins. We melted coins with it. It was hot enough that the copper would just melt right into a liquid. coming out of this. It was incredible heat. That wick was just perfect somehow. It was like the best wick you could imagine. It had this real strong smell. Like,
it wasn't pleasant. It wasn't good.
It had a skunky quality to it too. And oh man,
I burned it once. Everybody was gone, and I was practicing drums by myself and burning that candle with the door shut. Dude, it was like a cloudy, toxic mess. And I opened the door, and I felt like heavy in my chest. Like, what have I done?
Just a nice inhale it, you know.
I was lightheaded.
Then you got the gasoline and the lighter fluid, and you was it.
I had that gasoline in a sock up to my mouth. Old dirty sock. Now for the listeners, it should be stated that actually all this is true except for the gasoline thing. I didn't put gas in a sock. But they're probably wondering, like, to what extent is this, you know, are they just making this up, or are they branding themselves or being characters? But that's actually all true. And I think it's backgrounds like that that lead to a career of writing professionally for the Internet Chronicle. Wow. Thank you, Dr. Troubadour, for the tips. Those are very helpful tips. And also, thank you for the advice. So he tells people to go into farming, and it'll only take you farther from nature if you do, but he recommends you just join up with the Femen movement and actually not go into farming. Why did he do that? What the fuck? That fell apart. But he did do that. He recommended people not go into farming, but to go into Femen. Actually, dude, this stuff about crop yields and shit, this is actually a really funny Chronicle story. You guys gotta check it out by Kilgore. It's actually a longer piece too. He posted on 9/11. Dude, the comedy 9/11.
I didn't even mention 9/11.
No.
I forgot it was 9/11.
It was just such a... Well, it's best not to, you know. Sometimes the right thing to do is not to... I look out. I went up to my roof the other day, and I saw those two big beams of light shooting up from downtown. Like, if you love the towers so fucking much, why didn't you just rebuild them? They were kind of cool. They're part of the skyline, right? Like, but now we're going to shoot up beams of light and shit, and... You know, send all the former presidents out to a field to make them cry. Like, alright. I thought they would have been done milking it by now, that's all. But with each year, in each time they hark back to it, and you're like, okay, what do you want out of it this time? It just feels so cheap by now. And I've noticed that people in New York, you bring up 9/11, it's either a joke... Like, they're going to intentionally shit on it and trash it, or they don't want to talk about it at all. But there's nobody that I've ever encountered that would solemnly, like, you know, if you referred to it, be like, yeah, give me a minute. They're fucking over it. or they want nothing to do with it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Kilgore, we're about to go out. Is there anything more you'd like to say on this important broadcast this evening?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I think I'm pretty much cashed out myself. It's almost 5:30 in the morning. People should know that this is what we put ourselves through for this show. It's 5:30 in the morning. I'm Hatesec. This has been Kilgore of Chronicle.su Notoriety. Hit another one out of the park with Hurricane. You put Category 2 Hurricane Miley on there. And it's funny that you did that because as we close out the show, Hurricane Florence has been downgraded to a Category 2. So it's almost as hilarious as Hurricane Miley herself. I'm HateSec. This is Chronicle.su. Get the fuck out of here. Go fuck yourselves. Do something more important with your lives until the next episode comes out.
Thank you.